The Duly Noted Podcast is brought to you by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today or order online at zaxbys.com/podcast. And by Vistar Credit Union with locations across Gator Country. Visit vistarcu.org and also ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. ABC, always be celebrating.
This is Duly Noted, everything Florida Gators, with your host, Pat Duly.
Okay, welcome into the latest Duly Noted podcast. It's the pregame for Florida and LSU. They are going to play football on Saturday, despite the Gators being gigantic underdogs. They're going to show up. Hey, you know what? They're going to get on a plane and a bus, and then the bus takes them to the plane first, and then they get on another bus. So, you know, they're going to play the game. I mean, LSU seems pretty fired up. I'm sure it's going to be an amazingly loud crowd. I don't see it being any louder than it was here, but I'll get to that point in a minute, especially concerning young Kyle Trask. I have some thoughts on that whole situation with the crowd. But first, I did want to thank all the people. Sometimes when I do this podcast, it becomes kind of a just free association. I'm just throwing things out there. And I guess I didn't even remember hardly doing this, but I do kind of remember it. I did talk about the podcast and how popular it was and kind of made fun of my writing ability. And I got so many emails from people saying, "You're a great writer. Keep it up. You know, keep working really hard." And a lot of emails also from my Thursday column, which was in the paper Thursday. As a rule, that's the way it works. Complimenting me on that. I appreciate that so much. It's the fuel that keeps me going because I'm nearing the end of my career. Let's face it. I'm an old man, and I don't know how much longer I can keep doing it. Trips like this are exactly the reason I kind of want to get out at some point. You know, sitting in airports and getting up, getting 3 hours sleep after a game, being in traffic. But, and I'm not complaining. I'm just saying this is my personal feeling of why I want to get out at some point. And I don't know how long it's going to be. But people like that, people who send me those kind of emails, keep me going. They keep me fired up. People who send me negative ones don't. And I think it was Reese Davis on our show said that every negative comment or email or text is seven times more powerful than the positive ones. And I don't agree with that. I know that's a commonly held belief. I don't agree with that. The positive ones do so much more good than the negative ones do bad for me, but that's me. Anyway, I just want to thank everybody for sending some really nice emails. Obviously going to Baton Rouge, been there so many times. Golly, it feels like I've been there 100 times. You know, it used to be there were times when we would go and stay in New Orleans. But, you know, and this is, I think this is what happened in 2012. And I don't know this. I know that that team that went 11-1 and went to New Orleans and there were no Gator fans there. I mean, literally, I've never seen at a bowl game, maybe the Sun Bowl in 77, fewer Gator fans at a bowl game. They just were tired of New Orleans. And I see how that happens. We've done it. We actually went on vacation there a few years after that. But that was more for Kelsey and some of the historic stuff. And we just wanted to look at the architecture. And, you know, it was a cool trip. But you go to New Orleans enough, eventually it wears on anybody, you know. I mean, it's like Vegas, you know. Some people can go there a million times. I think there are a lot of people that, you know, once you get to the 10th or 11th trip, you're done. So we don't really go to New Orleans anymore on this trip. We always go to Baton Rouge. It's hard to get in there in terms of getting a good flight. We've got a long layover. I know, again, I'm violating one of my rules. Nobody wants to hear about my travel issues. But it is just amazing to be going there again. And maybe the last time for me. Who knows? But it's a great stadium. It's an okay city. I like Baton Rouge fine. I don't I'm not overwhelmed by how nice it is. I mean, like, to me, I think we talked about this on the earlier podcast. It probably in the top 7 or 8 out of 14 cities. But the crowd will be loud. There's no doubt about it. And obviously, to me, and I talked a little bit about this on the radio the other day, this, like, Auburn was a physical game. Florida came out in a base defense the whole game, didn't blitz, rushed 4 almost the whole game, sometimes 3, and it was more about the physicality of what those guys could do and the physicality in the secondary, and Florida won the physical battle. This, I feel like, is going to be more mental, that this game is going to be about, can you identify the routes? Can you identify what they're trying to run? And obviously, if you're a Florida fan, you hope that these Gators spend a lot of time in the film room, because the coach can only teach so much. You know, if you're Todd Grantham, you're going over it with them over and over and over again. But in the end, they've got to kind of do it on their own too. This goes back to what Coach Mullen was talking about with the offensive linemen. If what you're doing isn't working, try something different. Try to do more often, or you know, do better job. And I think that's the way it is with the secondary, which has been playing awfully well. And that is going to be the key to the game. I think all of us agree, key to the game, the matchup of the game, their receivers, who are very good, against Florida secondary, which is very good. How do they stand up? They made a freshman look like a freshman last week. This isn't a freshman. Joe Burrow, you know, he's really good. He's a really good player. And he's got a lot of confidence. But I want to talk about that matchup. Also, again, I'm going to get into this Kyle Trask thing that I feel is a strong part of this game and the rivalry that is Florida-LSU. But first, we have to take a break. We'll do that right here on the Gator. The Gator Sports Network, I was about to say. What is the Gator Sports Network? I don't even know what that is. It's a duly noted podcast at Gatorsports.com. Zaxby's, famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today.
At Vistar, we believe in better. And that means treating people better with friendly, personal service that's kept our members happy since 1952. A smile and personal greeting when you enter the branch, an online or phone chat for those quick questions, and a call center that's open every day. If you believe that great service is better, join Vistar. We never forget that it's your money. All loans subject to approval, insured by NCUA.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast. And so here's my theory on Kyle Trask and why you maybe should have a little bit of concern about him going into this environment. And you can say, what are you talking about? He's harumph, harumph. Now, here's the thing. Kyle Trask has played one game on the road, right? One quarter of one game on the road. It was a very difficult situation. Crowd was very loud. He was trailing by 11 points. He did an admirable job. Did a great job. But this is going to be different for him, because this is his team now. And this is an entire football game. And it's going to be louder. And it's going to be mean. And it's going to be venomous. So I don't know that you know, it's easy to say, well, Kyle Trask has been through it. Well, he went through it for a quarter. And in that game, he had nothing to lose. If he comes in and doesn't do well, Florida loses the game, yeah. But nobody's blaming Kyle Trask. Everybody's saying, well, that Felipe injury cost us our whole season. We're not going to win the SEC now. So, you know, for Kyle, now he does have a lot to lose. I mean, because he's the starting quarterback and he's expected to do so much. Now, I will say this, and I wrote about this in the back 90 the other day. What I see is a kid who is pretty unflappable so far. That's what we've seen. But I got a feeling that – that's not proper grammar, is it? I have a feeling. I don't got a feeling. I got a feeling. No, I have a feeling that LSU might throw a lot at him, throw a lot of not only different coverages and disguise coverages, but a lot of blitzes at him. If I am LSU, I might be saying this. Dave Aranda, very good coordinator, right? They have not been great on defense, as we know, so far. A little bit of it is, and we'll talk to – we're going to have Scott Rabelais on a little bit to talk to him about it. But I think a little bit of it is that their offense is so high-powered now, they're off the field quicker, they're having to play more plays. Maybe that's a little bit of it. I think a little bit of it is they've been missing a lot of guys through injury. So we'll get the lowdown from Scott in a minute. But there's no question that for Florida to win this game, the secondary is going to have to play big. And Trask is going to have to – like, you don't want this to be a shootout, right? In a perfect world, this is not a shootout. This is not 42-40. If it's 42-40, you hope you have 42, obviously. But I think what Florida's going to try to do is win this game 28-24, something along those lines, which is a familiar score in that game. The key, as we and again, this is kind of like last week, where we could have sat here and told you about 900 keys to the game. It's not that much different. It's the same thing. There are so many different keys, but I talk about the secondary versus their receivers, but the key, one of the big keys to me too, is stop turning the ball over. Florida's got 13 turnovers, 11 from their quarterbacks. And obviously Kyle had the 3 fumbles in the last game. The internal clock's got to get better. They can't keep turning it over. You're going to get burned by that eventually. And I know they turned it over 4 times against Miami, won the game. 4 times against Auburn, won the game. Eventually, it catches up to you. So try, if they can clean that up, quit turning the ball over. Quit making those kind of mistakes. I think that's going to be huge. And, there's going to be a lot of talk about the loser of this game being eliminated from the college football playoff. Shoot, the way the national media has treated the Mighty Gators this year, they may eliminate Florida if they win. But definitely, the loser is going to be looked at differently, and this is what we talked about last week. But that's it. That's what happens. You're playing this schedule that we talked about, I think I saw on ESPN, the 4-game stretch Florida is in the middle of right now is the toughest 4-game stretch any team in the country will have based on FPI or whatever. But obviously you go to South Carolina next week and then the game against Georgia. But you're playing number 5 today. You just beat number 7. Now you got to play number 5. That's pretty tough 2-game stretch right there. Back-to-back Tigers. So I don't know if the loser's necessarily eliminated, but with what both teams have left on their schedule, it's going to feel a little bit like it. Now, it certainly does not eliminate either one of those teams from going to Atlanta for the SEC championship. But again, LSU still got on their schedule Auburn, Alabama. Oh, don't say the words Alabama. You get a little nervous when you're around LSU fans, that many of them especially. But maybe I'll wear an Alabama Crimson Tide shirt in there. How would that go over? Not well, no. I think I'm just going to stick with my Boise State t-shirt. But they have nothing to say to Alabama fans. They've scored 10 points in the last 3 years against them. You're better. You are the mountaintop, and that's the thing about these two teams, these two programs. They're both trying to climb that mountain, and they don't mind shoving the guy off next to him. See ya. Woo! They don't mind, but they're both trying to climb up that mountain, and neither one is there yet. Everybody wants to talk about Florida being overrated, even still, everybody's going to pick LSU. Look, I picked LSU. And you can yell at me and scream at me and say, I think LSU will win that game at home. That's why they're big favorites. They're really good. I won't be shocked at all if Florida wins the game. I think, you know, anything can happen. You get some early turnovers and get ahead, like we talked about. Play from ahead is the key for Florida, like they did against Auburn. But we'll see what happens. I won't be stunned at all. I'll be pleasantly surprised. But these are two teams that the winner of this game is going to say, okay, I'm putting my flag in the ground here, and I feel like I can compete with anybody now. But the truth is, Florida will still have to beat Georgia. And look, I don't think Georgia's better than LSU. I don't think necessarily Georgia's better than Auburn. They're all about the same, but the magnitude of that game will be tremendous, as we know. And you never know how a game like that turns out. But Florida's still going to have to do that. They're going to also have to go on the road and play South Carolina. And I know you're laughing. Will Muschamp, yeah. But they're good enough to beat Florida. I always talk about that. Are they good enough to win the game? Like Towson was not good enough. Tennessee was not good enough. I think I said at the time they might be, but we all know better now. So it's – you're still going to have to beat Georgia, and LSU's still going to have to beat Alabama. And they're going to have to beat Auburn. I tell you what, I would – and I talked about this last week, and I used this in my column because I felt like I was kind of on to something. I used it in my column for the picks column about how I think we're about to see a great second half of the season. That LSU-Auburn game, I am fascinated by. I don't even know what date it is, when it is. I can't wait to see that game. That defensive pass rush and those as good as they are in that front four against LSU, throwing the ball all over the place, it's going to be like the old days of the Florida, when Florida used to go in there. Of course, Florida went in there under Coach Spurrier, scored a lot of points. I'm not going to say they dominated them, but they won 11 out of 12 under Coach Spurrier. And he scored 400 points in those 11 wins. Just thought I'd bring that up. Which brings me to the rivalry part of this. And I wrote about this for Saturday's paper. And I know I've got people who do email me and say, in addition to me breathing too hard, say, hey, Pat, why are you always referring to your columns? We read your columns. We know what you wrote. Okay. But I just don't want to say this is a new thought I've had. No, this is a thought I've had and I used in my column. And I wrote about it. I'm off the rails right now, but bear with me. But I wrote about the rivalry and why it's so intense. Now, we all know why it has gotten more intense. But the point I make in the column is the biggest reason the LSU is upset and they're mad at the Gators. Gators celebrated last year. Their biggest reason they're mad is they've lost. They lost the last game against Florida. They lost the last game in Baton Rouge. Sorry. So that's why they're angry. Now, all this hurricane stuff that happened, I don't even know if it resonates anymore. It was a dark time in journalism for me. There were just stuff going on that were out of control, just ridiculous. And it was not, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun to try to talk sense into people at times. At any rate, this is a great rivalry. I don't know how big of a rivalry it was, but I do know this. Now, the Spurrier domination kind of killed the rivalry for a while. But during, after Spurrier left for right up until Urban left, this became a great rivalry. Both teams winning. LSU won two national titles. Florida beat them one of the years they won a national title. In Baton Rouge, they still won the national title. Florida should have beat them the other year. They did. And then there were so many other great games. I mean, obviously, the 06, the Tebow jump pass, and, you know, it was really a cool, you know, the 2009 game. Right, where Tebow is concussed and comes back and plays in the game. Florida wasn't overwhelming. They won 10-3. And Tebow later said, yeah, I was still concussed, but I talked my way out of it. I mean, there have just been some great. The rivalry in that decade was so meaningful because the games were so meaningful. And look, in the end, that's when a rivalry is at its best, is when the teams are good. You know when a rivalry is not any good? When one team's way better than the other. So during the 90s, it wasn't a great rivalry. Now, they won one game and tore down the goalposts, nearly hitting me in the head. Never forget that. I thought I was going to die that night. And I don't think they tear down the goalposts when they beat a team they're 14-point favorites over. Actually, 13.5. I don't think goalposts should ever come down, but that's the old man in me, the old fuddy-duddy in me. Anyway, it's interesting that the line hasn't budged. It stayed right there. So I thought it was set really high at 14 to get the wise guys to put money on Florida, but they aren't doing it because it's only gone to 13.5, which is barely a budge there. It's interesting, and I think it is because, again, the lack of faith in Florida offensively. So we'll see. Death Valley is going to be loud. It's not going to be louder than it was last week. But last week, everybody was cheering for you. Now they're all cheering against you. It's a tough place to play. It's not the toughest place to play. I think Florida, when it's like it was Saturday, I think Alabama's tougher. I think LSU's right there. LSU, the seats don't go, like in the swamp, the seats kind of go straight up. At LSU, it's kind of like Michigan in a way. They do kind of go back a little bit. But it's a tough place to play because people are angry. They show up to that game angry. They're mean. Did I tell the Jesse Palmer story here? I'll tell it real quick. Jesse Palmer's warming up 1997. He's warming up because Doug Johnson's having problems, and Spurrier tells him to warm up. He's stowing over the sideline. A woman, older woman, starts yelling for him to. She wants to talk to him, and he's trying to warm up. I'm getting ready to go in the game. Jesse Palmer, throwing. Jesse Palmer. He finally says, you know, that might be a friend of my mom's. So maybe I should go by. So as he gets done, he walks over and goes, hey, how you doing? She goes, F you, Jesse Palmer. Jeff Cardozo told me a story that literally was almost exactly the same about something else that happened several years later. And I'm wondering if it's the same woman. Maybe she's just mean. Maybe she's the one that's mean. They're ornery. I don't know what it is, but they're ornery. So Florida is going to be walking into a buzzsaw. But you know what? Score early. Get some good things to happen early. Take the crowd out. You don't take them out completely, but lower their decibel level. Everything changes. Right? All right. Let's talk to Scott Rabelais from the Baton Rouge Advocate. Good friend of mine. We'll do that after we take this break. You're listening to the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com.
ABC Fine Wine and Spirits in Florida is family-owned since 1936 and longtime Gator supporters. Did you know Touchdown Terrace was named after the founder, Jack Holloway? There are 122 ABC locations throughout Florida. Shop online at abcfws.com and pick up in-store on the way to your tailgate or game day party. ABC has walk-in coolers for beer and amazing deals every day on wine and spirits. Save $10 on every $100 on wine. ABC Liquors, proud Gator supporters.
Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's today. Welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast. It is a great pleasure to be joined by my guest, Scott Rabelais, from the Advocate out in Baton Rouge. And here's the first question I have for you, Scotty. We've known each other a long time. I know that Mama said that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush. I'm trying to figure out why LSU players are so ornery about this Florida game. Is it because of last year's game, or why do you think they're so mad?
Yeah, I think they're mad at themselves a little bit for losing a game that they thought they should have won. I mean, of course, there's a game that could have gone either way. And, there's been some allegations of some chippiness towards the Florida fans and the Florida players and stuff like that. So, it's a big he said, she said kind of situation, of course. But I think they're looking for a little edge in this game. I think they have some edges in this game, quite frankly, playing at home, playing at night, sold out Tiger Stadium. It's going to be epic.
Yeah, no, I think it is too. And we all know it's a different animal at night, which is why Florida was smart to get them to have to play that game and during the day when we had the hurricane postponement as a condition of it. But at night, it's louder. They're a little more lubed up, right? You know, I mean, that's just the way it is. But the obvious advantage they have is that their passing game has evolved into this century and has been very impressive. I mean, what are they doing that is so different offensively this year?
Well, it's a pass first concept. No huddle, spread it out. You know, just a 180 from what LSU people think of LSU's offenses, especially in the Les Miles era. And, you know, if I can go back a little bit to 2016, when Ed Orgeron was the interim coach after Les Miles was fired and trying to become the head coach, he tried to sell the LSU administration on the idea of bringing in Lane Kiffin as offensive coordinator.
Right.
And I think Lane may have come. You know, they've coached together at USC, and I think he may, and maybe at Tennessee as well. I think he might have come had he not gotten the head coaching job at FAU. So he hires Matt Canada from Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh, who was a hot name at the time. And, he has this shifty, misdirection kind of offense, and I don't think Ed found that he really liked it once he was in the middle of it. And I don't think they liked each other. So he kept looking, and they finally bring in Joe Brady, this young guy who was with the Saints for the last couple of years, brings in some of their passing concepts and brings in learned the RPO game from under Joe Moorhead, the Miss State coach, when he was the offensive coordinator at Penn State. So, and then you have a quarterback in Joe Burrow, a fifth-year guy, very experienced, transferred from Ohio State. Last year, really kind of felt his way through the first two-thirds of the season, but became better down the stretch and was MVP of the Fiesta Bowl. And it's just gone nuts, in this system. I mean, Pat, as you said, I've covered LSU for a long time, and you've seen these LSU games every year. It's just I look at the stats, and I see LSU's leading the nation with 54.6 points per game. And I never, ever thought I would see something like that. It's pretty remarkable. But it's kind of a gumbo of all these things. Steve Insbigger is still the offensive coordinator. Joe Brady has brought in a lot of the passing game concepts. You have a quarterback who can run it, who's good at decision making and leadership skills. And you have a head coach in Ed Orgeron, unlike Les Miles, who is willing to embrace the modern way of playing offense. And it's all paid off in this offensive bonanza that LSU's had in the first five games.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, especially to see them on top five games into the season. You might have seen it after two, but after five is pretty impressive. And, of course, for Florida fans, they're holding hope that, LSU has not seen a defense like Florida's, and they haven't. They've played some bad defenses. I mean, as I said on my podcast the other day, Vanderbilt apparently gave up defense for Lent. I mean, they're awful. They can't stop anybody.
Yeah, really bad.
But, I mean, I think that's going to be what makes this greatest because LSU is like the immovable force and Florida is the unstoppable object or whatever. I guess I got that backwards. But that is the one thing that I think Florida fans have hope on. But you've seen them play. The defenses they played have not been great, have they?
No, definitely not. I mean, the Texas is the best team they've played, and that was a shootout. Obviously, LSU won 45-38. Both teams had over 500 yards of offense. Two really good quarterbacks going at it, in Burrow and Sam Ehlinger. And so no, this will be their best test. Vandy was not a good defensive team, obviously. And then the other games were Georgia, Southern, Northwestern State, and Utah State was. Is a better team probably than people will give them credit for.
Yeah,
their quarterback,
they're not bad, yeah.
Jordan Love is a projected maybe first-round draft pick, and they were averaging over 500 yards a game, and LSU held them to like 159 or something like that, total yards. So, and intercepted him three times. So it's going to be their best test. But this is a tough team to defend. LSU you know, they've been going very hurry up, you know, going with the passing game. And against Utah State with a day game and a team that had a potent offense, they decided to go back to the running game somewhat, and it paid some dividends for them. They were able to run the ball effectively against, again, an outmanned opponent. I won't say it wasn't, but the LSU looking for the yards rushing, 248, which is more what you're used to seeing from LSU. But still threw it for Burrow, still threw five touchdown passes and in the game and well over 300 yards. So they kind of probably go for more of that kind of balance against Florida. The thing that makes them difficult to defend is Joe's ability to read progression. So, you know, I think it's probably something Florida was probably able to confuse Bo Nix last week. Sure. I'm sure, he threw some poor passes. And Joe throwed an interception or two as well. He's got three picks so far this season. But, you know, he's been very adept at number one receiver is covered, I'm checking to two. Two's covered, I'm checking to three. And eventually, you know, when you put five guys in the pattern, there's a good chance if you have time that you're going to get somebody open. So the big question here, I think, for fans and media is Florida going to try to bring a lot of pressure? Are they going to drop a lot of guys in coverage? Because it seems like the MO with LSU this year is leaving you pressuring. If you don't get to them, you're leaving somebody open that they're going to find.
Yeah, on the other side, I mean, do you think that their defensive numbers that are down a little bit, maybe not as good as we usually see from LSU, or is that because they're having to be on the field so much because the offense is getting a lot of quick scores, or do you think it's because of the injuries they've had and, of course, they're getting a lot of guys back?
Yeah, it's a combination of those things. They missed some key players. You've had several key starters who have missed two or three starts. And they're getting a lot of those guys back. I think I read where Florida's defense, you know, was getting some guys back last week, and I think that's LSU's case this week. Rashard Lawrence, defensive tackle, who was defensive MVP of the Fiesta Bowl against UCF, he should be back, at least in the playing some snaps. Michael Divinity, a linebacker, is probably the best rushing linebacker, is back. Caleb on Chesson appears to be healthy, so they're coming to health, as Les Miles would have said in his inevitable style. But the defense is, yeah, they've been stressed by this offense. I mean, I wrote this before the season. I said, you know, LSU fans, you know, you think of LSU football, you think of, you know, some great offensive players like Billy Cannon and Kevin Falk and maybe a quarterback. You think of Tommy Hodson, you know, who threw for a lot of yards back in the day. Sure. But LSU fans take pride most in their defense, the Chinese Bandits from the 1958 team, and players like Tommy Casanova and Glenn Dorsey the Honey Badger, you know, Tyron Matthew, and, you know, the whole DBU thing. I'm trying to get started on that, but I'm ready to put all that aside. But they're not going to be really happy with 50-40. And you've had a couple of games like that. The Vanderbilt game, not quite what you saw.
Yeah, they scored a lot late.
Two touchdowns. Yeah. Yeah, they had a fumble that Vandy recovered, a scoop and score, and they had a pick six. So they gave up 24 points on defense. But the Texas game was just a shootout in the second half. But they certainly played their best game, best most sound tackling game against Utah State as well. And so I think they're hoping to parlay that into another good effort against Saturday.
Last question, Scott, and we really appreciate your time. Florida won last week's game because they won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. Do you think it's possible that they can do that again? I mean, how good do you think LSU is on both lines of scrimmage?
Again, LSU, the situation is improving for their offensive line. They got Ed Ingram back. He was a player suspended all of last year in the first few games this year. Some sexual assault charges that were dropped, and so he was reinstated on the team. And then the defensive line has if there's a weak spot, it's the defensive line. They've got to get pressure better with their three, four, five down linemen than they have. And I think that's contributed to a higher third down conversion rate for LSU's opponents than they would like to see. I think that can be a concern. You know, there is that the LSU needs to win the trenches turnover battle. I mean, you know, Florida, obviously they turn the ball over a lot. They cause even more turnovers. LSU had a propensity for turning the ball over in their own end of the field this year, and it hasn't. Sometimes it hadn't bitten them too badly, but in this game, you expect Florida is the most opportunistic team will have played, and that's a concern. But yeah, I think it is a big concern is that the skill positions LSU probably feels like on balance they're the better team. But and the Lions, you know, Florida's been impressive.
He is Scott Rabelais. He is one of the best in the business, and I look forward to seeing him out there in Baton Rouge on Saturday. We'll take a break, come back more with the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. Okay, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast. Appreciate Scott Rabelais for coming on. Always a pleasure to talk to him. He's a solid journalist. Not everybody was a solid journalist 3 years ago, but I'm not going to get into that whole thing. It's funny, while he and I were chatting here on the podcast, the HBC called me back for something I'm doing. So if I stop for a second, I maybe I should put his call on the air. People would probably rather hear from him than me. All right, let's talk about some of the other college football. And I was thinking about this today. Hey, Georgia, while I know a lot of Florida fans are going to watch that game, I think it's a noon game, right? Watch that game and root for South Carolina to win because they want to see you lose. If you're going to go ahead and win the game, go ahead and beat up on South Carolina a little bit. Make them feel the pain and make it a little bit easier for Florida next week. I don't see South Carolina win the game. First of all, I think Georgia is almost bored right now. They're waiting for the Florida game. They're waiting for the Auburn game at the end of the year. They're waiting for the SEC championship game. They haven't always looked impressive this year, but they keep winning. And I think I see this happen all the time, where a team with high expectations, they kind of get bored with the regular season, and they can come up and bite you and right in the behind. And almost bit Clemson. We already saw that. But it'll be that'll be a great game. Of course, Oklahoma, Texas, I'm looking forward to. There's so many good games this weekend. I mean, this is what college football is supposed to be like on Saturday. We even have a nice Friday game. I mean, it's not a huge game, but Virginia, Miami, hopefully we land and get to our hotel in time to watch a good part of that. I'm looking forward to that game. That's the thing. College football, it needs somebody to do the scheduling for it. Now, a little bit of it is the two bye weeks this year, open weeks, whatever you call them, idle weeks. And I think that's caused us to have some bad weeks. But as I said last week, I think we're heading for a great, great finish to this season. It may not be great for your team that you root for, whether it's Florida or somebody else. But it doesn't mean it's not going to be great for college football. I think it will be. Let's look at a couple of by the way, there are so many good games, and it starts early. Noon, I mean, it's right out of the chutes, Oklahoma, Texas. And there's and if you live in a – I know we got to have a lot of listeners to the podcast that live in central time zones and western time zones, and you're going to have to get up early. But pace yourself, okay? It is a long, long day until the Gators finally play their football game. And I know you'll be watching that. Let's take a look a little bit at the spreads. We always do that here on the show. I actually list the spreads in the paper in my picks columns Friday. I didn't pick against them, though, because I just don't feel like in a college town you should be doing that. Now, when gambling becomes legal here, maybe I will. But right now, I just don't feel like it's a good thing to do. And we can talk about it, and I can give you my lock of the week, which I have. But picking against the spread, I don't know why. Maybe it's time for me to evolve and start doing that. I'll have to talk with my boss about that. All right, Miami, 2.5-point favorite. Actually was one, so the money is coming in on Miami in that game against Virginia Friday night. Virginia really hung in there. That was my big upset pick last week. Virginia hung in there with Notre Dame. I guess that was 2 weeks ago. But I don't know how good Virginia is. And Miami is so hard to figure out. Like, if you were going to bet on that game or pick that game, let alone bet on it. Are you going to see the Miami team that went down 28-0 to a Virginia Tech team that's totally a train wreck? Or the team that came back and should have taken a lead, except they missed an extra point. Doinked it. Doink. And then gave up a touchdown after they had shut out Virginia Tech in the second half. Shut them down completely. Gave up a touchdown drive. I just don't – I feel like it's almost like Miami is a typical first-year coach at work. First-time head coach at work. And that he's got good players. He kind of knows what to do with them, but he doesn't know completely what to do with them. Still undisciplined. Still make a lot of mistakes. I would not get anywhere near this game. Oklahoma is 11-point favorite over Texas. The over-under, which I know is going to be – a lot of people are going to be excited about betting, is 76, which is obviously very high. But the – and look, I'm already excited. The key is getting to Baton Rouge. Once I'm there, everything's going to be fine. You get there. Get to where we have a very nice hotel. In fact, I just got a call from the hotel because they've overbooked, and I was afraid they were telling me my room was canceled, but they wanted to confirm my room, and I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to Saturday getting up, you know, getting a workout in, getting some chicken or something, you know, something, a couple of Diet Cokes, and sitting there and watching this Oklahoma-Texas game. Ellinger versus Hurts, and it's almost now. Look, I'm the guy who doesn't like September Heisman favorites, but I tell you what, Jalen Hurts has a big day. And they score a lot of points, which they probably will because that defense isn't very good, and we may start penciling them in. Now I won't because I wait till the end of the season, but there'll be people who do pencil them in. And it's also going to be interesting to watch Texas because, obviously, they had a shootout with LSU. And I think for – now, you know my philosophy. Every game is its own game. But it still will be interesting to watch that Texas defense and see how it holds up and how good it is. I think – I know, I wouldn't touch this game either. Missouri is a 12-point favorite over Ole Miss at home. That game was an 8.5-point spread, and all the money's coming in on Missouri, even though one of their best defensive players out, but Kelly Bryant got cleared. Tell you what, that Missouri game's going to be rough for the Gators when they go up there. And you hope it's meaningful. You know, the game is meaningful. Mississippi State, 7-point favorite at Tennessee. I don't think Mississippi State's any good, okay? I really don't. I know they lost a lot, and, you know, they've had quarterback injury issues. I just don't think they're very good. And yet they're a touchdown favorite over Tennessee. And here's the thing. Do you get the Tennessee that played in the first half and had Georgia on its heels? Or the Tennessee that played the second half and got blown out? I mentioned this in where did I mention it? It begins to be a blur. I think I mentioned it in my picks column that I was listening to McElroy and Cannell. And I'm sorry that I listened to Cannell. I wish they would take him off of there because I can't stand him, but I like McElroy. And they were talking, they were agreeing how Tennessee really showed something in a 29-point loss. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the state of Tennessee football. As I mentioned the other day, we've gone away from the Kardashian nickname. It's now Uncle Rico trying to relive the past. Kentucky... 7-point favorite over Arkansas. Hey, Wildcats, this is if you don't win this game, you may not be going bowling. I mean, it's still the schedule still sets up for you to get to a bowl game. You got to beat Arkansas. Notre Dame, 10.5 over Southern Cal. Notre Dame is better. Notre Dame is way better than I thought they were going to be this year. But they're not good enough to get in the playoffs, so they're kind of perfect. Like, they'll knock off teams, but they aren't going to a playoff. I don't think they have much of a chance because of their schedule. And if Southern Cal loses this game, this could be the next step towards. Now, I'm still – like, I've gone from I think Urban's going to be the next Southern Cal coach to I'm not sure he is. I think he might want the job. I'm not sure that they want him. and all the drama that comes with him. But with the talent they have, and with Urban Meyer, who knows what he's doing as a coach, we'll see. And then here's my lock. And I even toyed with the idea of picking Florida State to beat Clemson. I think Florida State's shown something the last couple of games. Defense has gotten better. Jim Leavitt there. I really toyed with it. And I said, you know, then I listened to a couple of guys who really know the ACC a little bit better, and they were kind of explaining what has not been going right with Clemson. But as we know, Clemson hasn't looked overwhelming. FSU seems to be improving. It seems like the perfect storm for a huge upset. But just the fact that it's 27 points tells you it ain't happening. Now, FSU and 27 points, first of all, I want to know if they've ever been that big of an underdog. I mean, when Lee Corso was coaching there, they might not have been as big an underdog. I'd jump all over that. But again, I'm not encouraging you to bet. All right, let's go to three things.
It's time for three things.
Number one, baseball is dead to me. I shan't be watching any more of it. What happened with the Braves on Wednesday was brutal, painful. It hurt. Giving up 10 runs in the first inning. I didn't even watch the rest of the game. I knew they weren't coming back from that. I actually watched Saturday Night Live. We had taped it last night instead of watching the Braves in a game five of a five-game series. If you had told me that a week ago, I'd have told you you're an idiot. It just goes to show that college football, the season still matters. Major League Baseball, the season doesn't matter. Dodgers are done. Braves are done. Washington's still alive. The Cardinals are still alive. The Braves own the Nationals during the regular season. It just doesn't matter. And I always felt that with those old Braves teams that were so good and won the division every year, that they, if the World Series was best of 27, I always thought the Braves would have had a bunch of national or a bunch of World Series titles. But you give them 27 games, they're going to win 14 of them. But when it's best of seven, they found a way to lose them. Very painful loss. And it wasn't, we all know that they lost the game, they lost the series, they lost their season on Monday when they had the bases loaded twice and couldn't get a run in. Could have put that game away. It's a shame. I love that team so much, and it really was hard to put up with. Number two, the Braves are moving, I know, back-to-back Braves items, to get rid of the chop. And if you, for those of you who don't know what happened, this pitcher Ryan Halsley, whose grandfather is full-blooded Cherokee, complained about how insensitive it was to have the tomahawk's chops and everything like that. And I'm just sitting there going, duh. I mean, why did it take this guy to get everybody to realize it? So the Braves didn't give out the tomahawk, foam tomahawk, and didn't play. Their plan was, we won't play the song when he's up. But now they're moving even further. They're talking about maybe trying to phase it out. Thank goodness. You know how hard it is to be a Braves fan when they're doing that tomahawk chop? It is not pleasant. In fact, I've had to watch games with the sound off just so I wouldn't hear it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It shouldn't take one guy to make you realize something's wrong. Hello, Redskins. Hello, you there? Just curious. Take a clue. All right, and number three, the race is on. And a lot of people think the race I'm talking about, talking NFL, is for the Super Bowl? No. Oh, is it for the number one pick? Yeah, kind of, but not really. We have four teams with no wins. I want to see if anybody goes winless this year. And the most likely candidates are the Jets and the Finns. Now, Sam Darnold's back, which would mean that the Finns are probably the most likely candidate. There's also this race. Who will score the least amount of points this year? Right now, the Miami Dolphins with 26 in the clubhouse, the leader, 39 for the Jets. Now, the Bengals in Washington, who also are winless, have scored more points, but they play one more game. I go back to what I said on this show or in this podcast a while back. It's amazing to me, there's only 32 teams, an enormous talent pool. Enormous, right? You get a player injured, you can go get another one. You get a guy who's not playing well, you can just cut him and go get another guy. It's amazing how many bad teams there are. How come there are so many bad teams? I don't get it. Mark these days down on your calendar, though. November 3rd and December 8th, which is my daughter Jennifer's birthday. That's when the Jets play the Fins. Be sure you avoid all televised sporting events on those days. All right, that's going to do it for the Duly Noted Podcast. Again, thanks so much to Scott Rabelais for coming on. We'll be back next week, and we'll tell you what we thought of the Florida-LSU game. I don't know who I'm going to get to. I may have Tony Barnhart come on next week to talk about that game. Somebody in the press box I'll grab and have him come on, a national writer of some kind, to talk about that. And, of course, Thursday we'll talk about the South Carolina game. Until then, I'm Pat Dooley, the sports columnist of the Gainesville Sun. I'm deep, I'm way back, and I am out of here. The Duly Noted Podcast is presented each week by Zaxby's, taking chicken to a whole new level of flavor. Stop by your neighborhood Zaxby's or order at Zaxby's.com/podcast. And by Vistar Credit Union, with locations across Gator Country. Visit VistarCU.org. And also by ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. ABC, always be celebrating.